Yeah, we sing along. All right, if you're ready, we're gonna try this thing and make sure everything's all right.
Thank you. I'm going to turn to John 15. We're actually as I said last week, that was going to be the last one where I did fruit.
Okay.
We're going to see if I was true.
We're going to see if I was true when I said that. God is in our midst. So, John 15, we're going to go down and start at verse 17. And I want you to pay attention because when we get to the end of it, I'm going to come back and ask you, let's pick out some things that Jesus wants his disciples to do. Remember I told you that in this time where Jesus is talking to his disciples, he's mainly focusing on two things. He wants to focus on what he wants his disciples to do and the resources that they have to do it. All right? Now, if someone tells you to go do something, you may say, well, what do I have to do it with? You know, if you got to fix a leaky pipe, Brother David, you're going to need some pipe wrenches. You're going to need some Teflon tape. You're going to need some fixtures to fix that leaky pipe. If you don't have those things, you're going to wind up having a leaky pipe for a long time. You know, because you just got to have some things. You know, you can't build a house without something to build with. You got to have the building materials, you got to have the tools, you got to have plans, all this kind of stuff, right? So anytime you want to do something, you've got to have some resources in order to accomplish it, right? We send our kids to school to give them resources, right? To give them knowledge, right? And how the world works, and so that when they graduate, they can get a job and do the work. And they can do all the things that are, you know, demanded of them, right? So we teach them math. We teach them science. We teach them history. We teach them all kinds of things so that they can learn English and communicate well with each other. You can learn history and know how to govern well, because we can see how governments have done in the past, what they did and what they didn't do. So all this is about what does Jesus want us to do, and what resources has he given us to do that? So let's read in John 15. We start at verse 7, go to 17. I'll be reading in the ESV. And let's pay attention to what Jesus is telling his disciples. This is what I want you to do. Okay? So, in verse 7 it says, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." I thought I was through with fruit, golly. And it keeps coming up, doesn't it? All right. So, verse 9, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Not half full. Not three quarters full. But full. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. Okay, so, you get over here and start writing down. Things that Jesus wants us to do. Okay? Give me what?
Abide in my love.
Abide in his love. Okay. Okay? One?
Love one another.
Love one another. Good. Another one.
Obey my commands.
Obey my commands. That's a good one.
Bring forth fruit.
I'm sorry?
Bring forth
fruit. Bring forth fruit. Can't get away from that fruit, can we? Well, he's very repetitive in this whole thing. So, of course, there's a purpose for that. So, anything else? I think we've pretty much covered it, don't you? Yeah. Those four are pretty much it. I went through and wrote down 10 things. And that's really, there's some repetition in there, obviously. So it says, abide in him, okay? Have his words abide in them. Three is abide in Jesus' love. You got that one. Four, keep his commandments and thus abide in his love. Got that one. Five, heed what he says, which is keep his commandments. All right, so that Jesus' joy will be in them and they will be full of joy. Number six, love one another. We got that one. Number seven, obey his command to love one another. Okay, wrapped up in two of them. Number eight, remember what he told them.
Yeah.
That's not in the passage. I just threw that in for fun. Okay. Number nine, go and bear fruit. And number 10, love one another, which is a repetition. He sure seems to be repeating himself a lot, doesn't he? So, what do we talk about today? So, do we talk about abiding in Jesus? We talked about abiding in Jesus already, didn't we, in John 13, right? Do we talk about keeping his commandments? Well, we talked about that also. Did we talk about love? Well, we talked about that in John 13 and 14. Well, did we talk about bearing fruit? Well, we just talked about that last time, right? Jesus does seem to be repeating himself, doesn't he? This whole passage, you know? And as he is, so are we in this world. So we will repeat ourselves also. Right? We'll just do what he did. Because that's what we're supposed to do, what he did, right? So let's look at John 15:7 again. It says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. So, this is a repeat, an expansion on John 14, 13, and 14. Okay, what did he say there? He said, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Boy, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Anything, whatever. What do those words mean?
What do those words mean to us? I mean, really practically to you, if someone came up to you and said, ask me for anything, and you can have it. Well, it depends on the resources, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, if you saw a stranger walked up, you wouldn't know what to ask because you wouldn't know what they had access to give it to you, right? But let's just say Bill Gates, and I use him because he's well-known and has lots and lots of money, just running out his ears, well, so to speak. I mean, if he walked up to you and said, I love you. You did something great for me, and I think you're a wonderful person. Ask me for anything, I'll give it to you. Well, your definition of anything and whatever would be a lot bigger, wouldn't it? Than if some stranger walked up to you or if, you know, some close friend came to you and said, ask me for anything, I'll do it for you, you know. Bill Gates has got a lot more resources, doesn't he? And suddenly your whole concept of what anything and whatever is big, right? It's much bigger. Because you could ask him for $1 billion and he could give it to you and not even blink an eye. I mean, he's got 86 left. 86 billion left. You know, I mean, come on. Can anyone really seriously spend $1 billion? $1 billion? I mean, you and I would have to work pretty hard at it, right? I guess guys like him know how to do that kind of thing, but I mean, I would have to work really hard to spend $1 billion. Whew, that'd be tough. But I mean, he could do that and not even blink an eye. Okay, pew, pew, big deal. Right? So what does whatever mean? What does anything mean? What does it mean when Jesus says it to you?
Desires of your heart?
Huh?
Desires of your heart?
Okay, desires of your heart. But I mean, your desires of your heart are going to expand by what your mind conceives.
Yeah.
That's what I was talking about, right?
No way.
You know, I mean, there's one thing, you have certain desires of your heart that won't even be expressed if a close friend comes to you and says, just ask me for anything, I'll give it to you. I mean, you're, oh, I would really like a new dress, or I would really like a, you know, a new saddle for my horse, or something like that, you know, a really fancy one, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that might tax their resources, but they'd do it for you. But if Bill Gates came and said it, suddenly, the desires of your heart are revealed more deeply, right? And suddenly you can say, well, you know what I would really like to see?
10-acre ranch.
10-acre ranch, yeah, okay. 20-acre ranch.
20-acre ranch.
With lots of hired hands that I don't have to pay for, right? And all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, see, suddenly the desires of your heart are changed according to your mind, right? And what you see. And what you see the resources are. You follow me? So what if Jesus came to you and said, ask me anything. Whatever you ask in my name, he does it. Because I want you to be full of joy. Full of joy. Not half full, not three quarters. Full of joy. Now, suddenly, this is no longer Bill Gates, is it? This is no longer a 10-acre ranch, because Jesus owns literally everything.
Everything.
More than we can ask or think.
That's right.
You see, more than we can. See, when we start thinking of asking, all right, we also have to consider thinking. Because you can ask for more than you can think, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see, because didn't your desires of your heart change when you realize the resources in front of you?
Yeah.
Yeah, instead of a saddle, it's a ranch.
Yeah.
And when he gets to Jesus, what are we talking about? You see, there's no limit. You see, more. He says, I can do more than you can ask or think. You got to think it first before you can ask it. I was talking about this to Muffin this morning, and it was kind of interesting. She said, and I made the comment, you know, we were talking about provision and stuff, asking Jesus, and I made the comment, well, you know, if we ask anything according to his will, he'll do it. And she says, yeah, but how do you know you're asking according to his will? How do you know you're asking according to his will? Because, see, that's the big kicker that people throw in there. Oh, but is it the Lord's will? Right? They'll shut you down. They'll shut down your faith. They'll slow you down. And they'll throw that in. How do you know that's God's will? How do you know you should ask for that? How do you know that's God's will? Huh?
He wants me happy.
He wants you full of joy. Yeah, he wants you happy. He wants you happy. So that's right. And that's the keen insight I want you to know, because you're going to pass this along to people that you influence. And so what I told her was, well, people think you've got to pray, find out what God's will is, then you pray for it. You know. But that isn't what you find in the Bible. You don't find people doing that in the Bible. God's will is much bigger than we can think. I'll put it that way. And it's not like we think at all. Did Jesus have to pray and think and listen before he told Peter to go and take a hook, throw it in the water, pick up the first fish, latched on, and look inside and get a temple coin out of it, go pay the taxes? Do you think he spent all night in prayer? Do you think God's will, is you sure you want me to ask him that? You sure you want me to tell him? You think he did that? Jesus was just having fun. He was having fun with Peter, right? He got a smile at Peter's expense. Oh, what? The look on his face. Jesus went, yeah. You know? Think about Gideon. Right? Was it God's will that dew fall on the fleece but not fall on the ground outside? The fleece? All around the fleece? Was that a big thing about God's will? I mean, who did that benefit? Who did that benefit? And then he reversed it the next night, right? Well, where was that in God's will? You know what God's will was? God's will was to build up Gideon's faith.
Yeah.
That's what God's will was. And he said, whatever it takes. He told Gideon, he says, you name it. What do you want? You just name it, and I'll do it. Anything, whatever, right? Anything you have, I'll do it. And Gideon came up with this crazy idea of fleece and dew and dry and wet. And God did it. So what did Gideon do? He asked according to God's will. What was God's will? For him to ask anything.
Anything.
That was God's will. For Gideon to ask anything, and he would do it, and then Gideon could go out and do what God told him to do, right?
In confidence. He could do it in confidence.
In confidence, yeah. No doubt. Full of faith. You know, if God will do that for me, if he'll do this silly thing, if he'll do this weird thing that has nothing to do with his will, so to speak, if we would think, has nothing to do with his purpose for Israel or any of that kind of stuff, deliverance or anything. If he'll just make this fleece wet one day and dry the next and reverse all this stuff, if he'll do that, I'll know he'll do anything for me.
Yeah.
And what did Gideon do? Well, he went out and he did what God told him to do, right? He tore down the altar, that statue that they had in town square. And then he went to meet the enemy, right? And when he got there, Gideon, when he said, I'm the least guy that you would choose to go lead an army. And so when Gideon gets there and he's ready to go face the foe, he's got like 30,000 guys with him. And God says, you got too many. Send some of them home. Why did Gideon have to send some of them home? Because Gideon wasn't used to handling all that many people. Right? He was just an insignificant guy. He wasn't a leader of men, right? And I believe God had to pare it down to a number that Gideon felt like he could handle. He could have confidence, you know, in telling 300 men what to do, and he could handle that. He couldn't handle thousands of guys. This was just overwhelming to him. And it wasn't the enemy that was overwhelming, his own people. His own people was overwhelming him, you know? And so, just get rid of the 10,000, okay, get rid of 20,000, just leave me 300. Okay, we can do that. I can handle 300. And I'm confident that God is going to deliver these thousands of enemy with just 300.
Yeah.
No problem. Because he can do the fleece. Right? And so, I got it. Okay, I can handle 300. You see, he works with us wherever our faith is. Wherever our faith is, he works with us. Well, we didn't get very far today, but anyway, I got a lot more to cover, but we'll get to that next time, okay? Father, we thank you so much for loving us. We thank you that you are an extravagantly generous Heavenly Father. More than we can ask or think. Way more. Yes. We know we can ask you, and we thank you for that, Father. We know that there's no place we can go where you're not there, that you're not with us, because we got the Holy Spirit within us. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you that the Holy Spirit speaks through us. He speaks to us. He guides us. He comforts us. Oh, man, it's just wonderful. Father, we just pray right now for our fellowship together as we eat. Bless everyone here. Father, bless everyone who's coming. May each one of them hear the word of God today and be blessed and be joyful. Bless our food. May it nourish and strengthen our body. Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Help me in the car. I've got an extra one too that I found.
Yeah. So what resources do we have, brother?
Unlimited resources.
Unlimited.
Yeah.
We got the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. We have access to it.
Right.
I was just telling David earlier. God loves to take something small and do something great.
Yeah.
He loves to do that.
Sure. Because he doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, he'll do it through.